he's going to be... So just before he shares, we're going to pray for him in a minute. But yeah, Jacques shared a testimony of what the Lord's been doing in him with me. And some out of that, a word for us came. And so what he's sharing this morning is not just, you know, sometimes people get clever with sermon preparation. It's not a clever, you know, I was doing a Bible study and this is something the Lord's been doing in him and through him, and there's been fruit from that. And I definitely feel like he's got something to share. And I'm looking forward to this probably as much as you are. So I want to ask you, just open up your hearts and allow the Spirit to do and to say in us whatever he wants to do. But maybe can we pray for him? Yeah, thank you, Lord, for a brother and a man who loves you with such integrity, and a man who is zealous for you and your ways and your church. A man who's filled with your Spirit, Lord, and a man who has actually got a lot to give. And I want to say thank you, Lord, that this morning we get to enjoy some of the things that you've been depositing in him, actually over many years, Lord. I want to pray that you would give him the courage and the conviction and the boldness to say what it is, as if they are the very words of God, because you have given him a message to share, and we need to hear it. Pray, Holy Spirit, would you come and just calm him, give him peace, and give him courage in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Luke. Yeah, like Luke introduced me, I'm Jacques. I'm married to the wonderful Sarah sitting at the back doing AV. We have a little baby boy on his way in about 3 and a bit weeks, so I think this sermon is as much for myself as it is for you guys. And secondly, it's just amazing actually to have my sisters here, because it's every brother's dream to be able to preach to their sisters. yeah, what I want to share today to you all is just firstly a little bit about a testimony and something that's been happening in my life probably about the last 6 to 7 years. But something that popped up again last year, thought, okay, I was over this, but just had to wrestle through it and really find God and his way in it. And so what I want to speak to you about is the freedom we have in the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, let me just start off with the testimony. So I gave my life to the Lord when I was about 5, 6 years old. Yeah, knew I was a Christian, but I wasn't really, Jesus was my Savior, but he wasn't really my Lord. I didn't always follow him. I didn't always do what he wants me to do. But I did know him. Up until about 6 years ago, things were starting to get busy. I was like, life is real. And I realized I can't do this by my own. I can't please God by my own. And I looked and I was like, probably the only way is Jesus. That's the last, the last thing that can actually save me. And so I fully committed my life to the Lord and decided to follow him completely with everything I have. And that was amazing, because all of a sudden I knew what God wanted me, like he says, like, I write my laws on your heart. So I knew what God wanted to for me to do, and also how I could glorify him. But that is not that simple. As for me, I knew what God wanted, but I was still a man living in a very sinful world. And it's not that easy to actually completely, live according to God's according to what he wants you to do. And so fast forward, I was walking with the Holy Spirit, asking him daily, what are the things that you want for me? And, trying to follow him. And we got to a stage where I remember last year, things started going heavy again. Like, now my wife's pregnant. I'm trying to balance all these things of being a good husband, stewarding my work well, following God. And I knew what he wanted me to do it, but I was like, this is hard. There's a lot of things that I have to do to please God. And and it became like an unbearing weight. The result of that wasn't actually a life pleasing to God, but it was actually, like dropping the ball left and right, you know. And I remember, just thinking, it's like the gospel is really not complicated. It's like, this is Jesus. He died for your sins. Follow him. But it doesn't mean that it's easy. And I'll share a little bit later about what makes it actually easy. There was really... I was struggling firstly to balance all these things. And I really like knew what the Father wanted. And I read my Bible, knew exactly how I could search for the Father. I knew the characteristics of the Lord. I knew when the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. But I was trying to figure out and set up a way into how to do this. And if I would have written a book, it probably would have looked like this. It would have been the right way. The ways, rules, and principles to create a system of a good life. Or probably like to create a life that's pleasing to God, you know, written by the flesh. Because that's essentially what it was. It was written by my own ideas in how to walk a godly life. And that actually just pushed me into a lot of anxiety. Because, again, it's not by my power that I can actually do this. Like, I think that's one thing that that proved the reason why Jesus had to come is because it can't be by our power that we fulfill the law of Christ. But actually, it's only by God. And it ended up to a place where I was like really, really crushed. And I ended up going to see Pierre and just do some counseling with him, trying to figure out really like what is this thing that's wrong? Because I'm trying to do everything that pleases the Lord, but I'm constantly failing. And he asked me about after two or three sessions, he's like, "You really want to do the right thing, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, of course. Like, I want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord." And he just said that, "You know that is impossible to do within yourself." And I was like, "What? That's like really hard to hear." Because I'm like thinking like, I'm capable, you know? And that was quite a hard thing to hear for me. But right after that, he just told me, he's like, "You know that is fully possible just by walking in step with the Holy Spirit." And that was quite a moment that I had to, you know, renew my thinking of not just knowing God and what he wants, but also every step of the way following in his footprints for every moment, every decision, consulting him, but not just consulting him where, consulting him how, when, the time, how it would look. And I came to the realization that, like, myself and like the human condition in its completeness is really incapable of producing anything that is good. Not just not knowing what is good, but also producing that and walking that out by itself. And that we don't need more laws or principles to live by. We don't need, you know, to follow the 20 rules of life or the way how to follow God. We just need to follow the Holy Spirit. And that's actually who God sent us to follow. And I was sitting there, I was like, how did I miss this? You know, it's like, it was all there, but I missed it. And I started reading in the Bible, and this one story came to me about when Moses was with the Israelites in the desert, and they've been there for like 40 years. And so that's just an artistic depiction of the cloud, the pillar cloud, and that was a symbol that God's presence was with them. So whenever that that cloud was, the Israelites would know that God is also with them, and that is they're actually keeping in step with God. And you know, Moses and they knew by then, like, you know, this is where Israel, this is where the promised land is. They knew where God was taking them. They knew why he wanted them there. But what Moses, the most profound thing that Moses said is, we will not go to the promised land if you don't go with us. And I was just thinking, like by that thinking is, it's not knowing what God wants that keeps us from it. But it's actually trying to do it by ourselves. It's trying to rush along or trying to do it by our own means, by our own principles, our life and stuff. But that ends up not actually pleasing God because we are incapable of doing that ourselves. But it's actually, you know, following the Holy Spirit step by step, which results in a life that is pleasing to God. So in Romans 7:5-6, we read, For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law. And that just struck me, because I was like, this is literally the thing that we're struggling with. Is it really that the law could arouse our sinful passions? And I was like, I knew what was good, but it was that very thing, that knowing what was good and just looking at that, not actually looking at God to fulfill that, that actually end up making me fall short of it. So these words work in the members to bear fruit of death, but now we are released from that law, having died to it, which we held captive, so that we serve in a new way, the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. And it was just a quote that I heard about 2 weeks ago, and it just summed it up for me. It's by Wesley Huff, and he says, we can't use a mirror to clean ourselves. So why would we? So seeing, you know, that the law is a mirror, and a life pleasing to God is a mirror, actually using that very thing that we feel like, you know, we have to live up to actually clean ourselves. A life pleasing to God is actually more of a litmus test for us to see, okay, are we following the Holy Spirit? Are we following Him? Because when we follow Him, the natural outcome is a life pleasing to God. And it was just quite profound for me. So like, how can we constantly fall back into that culture or that idea of wanting to do it ourselves, wanting to do it again and again, trying to figure out things that, you know, we need to do to please God instead of following Him. But then, you know, reading Hebrews and Galatians, you see how Paul, you know, gets frustrated with the church there as they're doing actually the same thing. And I could just hear his way of being almost frustrated, being like, Jesus was just here to set you free. Like, you've been trying this for 4,000 years. You've not gotten it right. Jesus came. He set you free. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He told you to follow Him. And now you're falling back to the old ways, the ways that lead to death, the ways that actually are not pleasing to God. And so many times in the Galatian, the letters to the Galatians, you hear how Paul's just writing to them, go back to the Spirit, go back to the ways of God. Do not fall back into the laws that produce not goodness in you, that doesn't produce a sense of a life that is pleasing to God. And so when we become Christians, when we become followers of Jesus, we do know that, you know, we want to live a life that is pleasing to God. I had this complete burning sensation. It's like, yo, I really want to live up to God's standard. I want to live a life that He says He's proud of me. In Romans 8, we read further from that, is for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And that, again, was just such a reminder to me of, you know, knowing to put our minds on the Holy Spirit. You know, not in our own capabilities, not in our own fleshly natures, because our own fleshly natures inherently would lead us down the path that is not pleasing to God. And that was such a weight that was just dropped off of me in that moment. It took me from a place of really trying to strive to, you know, tick the boxes, living a life that actually was quite religious, you know, just trying to do the right things, following a very step-by-step, you know, method of pleasing God, to living a life that has actually come out of overflow, And not living a life that is just there to tick the box to make sure that I am a good Christian, but following and trusting the Holy Spirit step by step. And they were dealing with it, and it was a lot to deal with. I had to realize there were basically about three things, if I can summarize it, that I had to really battle through and to come to know the Holy Spirit. And the first was that the Holy Spirit, the helper is here to help. When Jesus was just about to leave the earth, and he turned to his disciples and he said that I need to go so the helper can come. Further in Romans, we read again that in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So when we know what God wants for us, but we are still weak in our flesh, he helps us in that moment. When we do not know what we ought to pray for. So even if we don't even know what to pray for, like the Holy Spirit actually comes and he helps us in that moment. But the Spirit himself intercedes through wordless groans. And he searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And there we just hear again that it is according to the will of God that he intercedes. It's not according to what we want or what is, best for our happiness. It's in accordance to the word of God, to honor God. The second one was that freedom is not found in knowledge, but it's found in the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians, which what I talked about earlier, it says that in Galatians 5:16-17, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these things are opposite to one another, to keep you from doing the things you want to. And I think that was one of the biggest things that I struggled with in that time was, I need to know more so that I can do better. And not just complete trust day by day in the Holy Spirit. Because so often we have probably about 50,000 self-help books out at the moment. And we feel like we need to know more and more and more on how to follow God. And not know that the Lord's actually given us a helper, who's the Holy Spirit, to help us through every step. And he knows best, because as we previously heard, he knows the will of the Father. And lastly, it was that I needed to find the confidence in the Holy Spirit. I needed to find that I'm truly confident in following him. Well, firstly, admitting that I'm a very proudful man, thinking that I know best. But secondly, also knowing that he does know best. He knows our lives. He knows he's so close with us. We read here in John 16 how Jesus says to the disciples that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all that is truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. And he will take what is mine and declare to you. And so, as I've been walking with the Spirit, you can really hear the Lord speaking to you through the Spirit. But you can go to your Bible, and this is an encouragement for us to know Scripture, but because the Scripture and the Spirit will never be opposite to one another. When we read the Scripture, we start learning the character of God, his nature. And as we start learning more about that, we actually recognize that through the Holy Spirit that speaks in those times. And we can actually discern, is this the Holy Spirit that's leading me into the fullness that God wants me? Or is this maybe just my own ideas? And so in closing, I just wanted to say that the one thing that I've realized, and I really wish this for all of us, that when we worship, let's worship in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. It is the Holy Spirit that ministers to our hearts while we read the Bible. It's only through him that we actually get the understanding of what it means. You know, what are the scriptures saying from God? It's by the Spirit we love. And I mean like really loving, not just because we want to, but because of his power. It's by the Spirit we are convicted of the ways that are not according to God. It's by the Spirit that we are free. Free from any performance, free from ticking boxes to, you know, to please anyone. It's his Holy Spirit that actually set us free and to do not just the right thing, but living a life that is truly like pleasing to the Lord. And so 25 years ago, I invited Jesus into my life. 6 years ago, I decided to fully follow him and commit my whole life to him. But in every decision, I have to follow the Holy Spirit and invite him into every situation to make sure that I'm not following my own footsteps, but I'm following him. And so I felt this picture for us. and it is really just... How amazing would it be if we were on a, you know, if our life was on a beach and all we see is one pair of footprints, and it's actually just the Father's. As we step by step, step into the footprints that he made for us already, and not try to make our own footprints, knowing where it's going, but actually finding a different route, but just trusting him in every single step. And so it's for freedom that we have been set free. And that freedom is really found in the Holy Spirit. For through the Spirit, we eagerly wait by the faith of righteousness, which we hope for. And so maybe just a question that I could throw out for all of us and for myself is to search our hearts and just see what are maybe areas in our lives that we do not follow completely the Holy Spirit in. Is it a area that we trust the Lord in? We know where he wants us, but... Is it our whole life that we walk in step with the Holy Spirit?